City Council meeting. The meeting is called to order, and I kindly ask our city clerk to please take the roll call.
Chuck Brown?
Here.
Ralph Dantino? Dorothy Flanagan? Here. Sam Hill?
Here.
Craig Maladra?
Here.
Richard Marks?
Here.
Ray Pollack?
Here.
Robert Piper?
Here.
Ron Singer?
Here.
Ron Rogelsberg?
Here.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have with us by phone Alderman Dorothy Flanagan of the 4th Ward, but per Illinois statute, we are required to entertain a motion and a second to allow Alderman Flanagan to participate via telephone.
So move. Second.
Dorothy, that was Alderman Singer who motioned, and the rest of them just kind of rolled their eyes. And the second, I believe, was by Mr. Hill. All in favor?
No, roll call,
Mr. Clerk.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan. Sam Hill.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ray Pollack.
Aye.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Ron Rogelsberg.
Aye.
And for those of you tuning in at home and watching the audience, our city council members here and statewide are actually allowed to participate via telephone. Dorothy, as you will soon discover, is not feeling well. So if she has an opportunity to speak, you'll discover exactly that it's best she's at home with SARS as opposed to bringing her here. So. Is that incorrect, Alderman Flanagan?
I guess so. I'm going to question what I have.
Good God.
I didn't want to bring it in.
I think Maladra just said you sounded like Hill. That's not good at all. Well, folks, we have a couple of presentations this evening. We have some very distinguished guests with us. But first, we have item 3A, is the announcement of the Name the Plaza contest. Oh, good God.
Here you go, Connie.
I forgot the Pledge of Allegiance, folks. I'm sorry. Based on that, I'm going to ask our Executive Director of the DuPage Airport Authority, Mr. David Byrd, to please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Stephanie, for catching that. Again, item 3A is the announcement of the Name the Plaza contest winner. We have with us tonight, from the History Center, a gentleman who we all know, Mr. David Oberg, who's going to give us a little history on a man and his family who most of us will recognize. And if you can't guess during Mr. Oberg's presentation what this plaza may be called, I will proudly announce exactly what it's going to be called following your remarks. So, Mr. Oberg, welcome.
Thank you. It is altogether fitting that the City of Geneva honor Robert B. Joshel by designating the new plaza on 3rd Street in his honor.
Well, so much for that. Thank you very much.
For many years, Robert Joshel operated the Mid-Valley Lumber Company at the site of the plaza, and both he and his family symbolized the spirit of service that makes Geneva a very special place to work, live, and play. Robert Joshel was born in 1917 to Henry and Ethel Joshel. His father, Henry, sought a fresh start in the New World with his brothers, fleeing the repression of Tsarist Russia in their native Lithuania. Robert's uncle, M.A. Joshel, would become a prominent businessman in Geneva and established a family tradition of service that continues until the present. M.A. Joshel would serve Geneva as mayor for 3 terms, as well as president of the Board of Trustees for Colonial Hospital, treasurer for Community Hospital, treasurer for the Geneva Community Chest. Robert's father, Henry, would serve as a partner in the M.A. Joshel Brothers Lumber Company until 1943 and would serve as president of the Mid-Valley Lumber Company. Henry also served as a faithful member of the Rotary Club and Moose Lodge of St. Charles, continuing the family tradition of service to the public good. Robert succeeded his father as president of Mid-Valley Lumber Company. During the Second World War, he also served in the U.S. Army in the China-Burma-India Theater and returned to Geneva to continue his good works on behalf of the people of this community. In his long life, Robert took an active hand in a number of community organizations, including the Lions Club, the Geneva Community Chest, Geneva Community Hospital, the Boy Scouts, and Fox Valley Hospice. He was also a proud member and supporter of our own Geneva History Center and was the recipient of the Wood Community Service Award in 1986. Robert Joshel gladly served the needs of his community and did not actively seek the limelight. Often, he worked behind the scenes, donating lumber for community projects with very little fanfare. One story in particular casts light on this modest hero. Mr. Joshel and his wife Frances bought a bench for Wheeler Park. Don Forney, former superintendent of Geneva Park District, assumed the Joshel name would appear on the bench. Instead, they surprised him, donating the bench in Forney's honor. And what a tremendous tribute to a great man that we finally return the favor and honor Bob Joshua for his quiet dedication to the public good.
I'll tell you what, Dave, that was well said. Anybody guess who we're going to name the plaza after? That was very, very well delivered. Thank you very much. And I must acknowledge Mr. Oberg because we did not reach out to him until, 4:30 this afternoon? When we had finally determined exactly what the name of the plaza would be. And, of course, we had, probably 60-plus entries, I think, of folks throughout the community who had suggested names. This, obviously, was the most fitting. And to the gentleman who actually provided that name, we, of course, extend our appreciation to him for thinking of the Josh and the Joshua family. So obviously you're all invited, and we'll post this as well on July 25, 10 a.m. at soon to be forever known as Joshua Plaza at the corner of 3rd and Crescent. We'll have a dedication ceremony. And just in case you're curious, the Joshua's five children are scattered throughout the country. Robert Jr. is located in Portland, Oregon with... in Minnesota. Sarah is in Portland, and Laura also is in Portland, along with Sandra, their other sister, and Martha is located in Madison, Wisconsin. So we will be notifying the family in writing of this honor that their father so richly deserves. And, of course, Mr. Joshua's dear wife, Fran, is deceased. So, Mr. Oberg, thank you. Any comments for Mr. Oberg and or... for the benefit of the community?
Mayor, I would just ask, besides writing, then perhaps you can send a photo as well.
Absolutely. I'm going to send a photo of Oberg. Okay. It'd be awesome. Thank you, Dave, very much.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Thank you, David.
I'll call you again next week at about 5:30.
Very good.
Item 3B, ladies and gentlemen, presentation by our dear friends at the DuPage Airport Authority on the current and future development projects. Most of you met Mr. Bird as he waited patiently in the audience. Mr. Bird hails from, really all over the place, but most recent transfer was from beautiful Colorado Springs.
That's true.
If any of you ever traveled through Colorado Springs and you are waiting for a flight because there's only one entrance to the security line, you get to sit down and enjoy a lovely little comfortable, almost living room-like atmosphere with a beautiful fireplace, and it's just a nice place to gather.
Fireplace was my idea.
I was just going to say that.
Yes.
We were going to call it Bird Plaza, but you were second. So, but every time I'm there, I think about it now.
But yes, I was at the meeting where I said if we get through this renovation without a fireplace, then we haven't done our job. So yeah, it's nice that it's turned out well. I haven't seen it myself.
It's beautiful. Your picture's actually above the mantle.
Is it really? Yeah, they're threatening at Prairie Lands to put my picture above the mantle, too. So, yes. I'd also like to introduce Anna Normoyle, who is our marketing person at the airport. And she's the one who did the excellent job on the PowerPoint that we'll be going through today. The reason we're coming to you today is because we are in the final phase of an airport master plan. This is the first airport master plan that's been done on the DuPage Airport for about, 50 years. It doesn't mean that there wasn't a lot of planning that went into the development of the airport as we know it today, but this is the first formal master plan that's been done. We obtained state funding, we obtained concurrence from the FAA for this project, and it's been a very long process. We think that we've got a good product, and it was time to take it out and share it with the community. One of the objectives when I got here from the board was that we do a better job at the airport of public outreach. We have annual meetings with the mayors like Mayor Burns and the other mayors from the surrounding communities. We think that that's important. Now that we have this work product, we're going to take it out to the community so everyone knows what we're thinking about, what we have on our radar screen for the future and so forth. In order to get to the future, we want to go back and visit the past because there is a very long, colorful past to the DuPage Airport. So, Anna, let's get this thing kicked off.
And, David, you're humble because we have breakfast probably once every three
six
or so.
Months.
Yeah, once
yeah.
every 6 months.
Yeah,
is awesome.
Probably. Yes. I will say that when I got here 5.5 years ago, that Kevin was the first mayor that contacted me. And we had breakfast shortly thereafter. So that
Levi paid.
Yes, Kevin's always been a great Kevin's always been a great supporter of the airport, and that interface has always worked well for us. We'll start off with a picture of the DuPage Airport back in the 30s. One runway, well, actually probably two runways out in the middle of farmland. That evolved into the 50s, I believe, or the 40s. You can't really see this very well. It's a little light in here. I see it better on your computer screens. But this evolved into a quasi-military facility during the war. In the 50s, it started developing into a more of a general aviation with some commercial facilities affiliated with it. Then into the 70s, you start to see the evolution of what is the DuPage Airport today. This is North Avenue. Whoops, we can back up just one. Yeah, this is North Avenue right here. This is a runway that we'll be discussing in a few minutes. And this was the primary runway, and there was even a grass strip out there. This is Pheasant Run, and you can see the golf course and so forth. So you're starting to see the evolution of what the DuPage Airport is today. In the 90s is when the growth spurt for DuPage really started evolving. This was the development of what we call the entire South Airfield. This is the primary runway, 2 left, 20 right, parallel runway, 2 right, 20 left. The flight center with the very unique curved semicircular ramp, and everybody knows the DuPage Flight Center, which is the largest building in the area. And then finally, we have the 2000s, turn of the century, a hub for business activity in Chicagoland. At one time, was the third busiest airport in the state of Illinois. We've dropped off a little bit as a result of the economy, less flight training than there used to be. But we're still probably in the top five, and we are probably the largest in the Chicagoland area in terms of general aviation activity. This is a slide that shows the main business components of the DuPage Airport Authority. First off, on the aviation side, we have the DuPage Flight Center, which is the commercial retail part of our business. We're a fixed-base operator. We sell all of the fuel at the airport and have provided a very high level of service. We're ranked annually as the number one fixed-base operator by Aviation International News. So it's a ranking that we work very hard to attain.
What does that FBO stand for?
That is a fixed-base operator.
What does that mean?
And that is a business on the airport where you can fuel your aircraft. You can arrange for maintenance, all of the passenger services that you might need. And that's what you'll find at most of the airports. Typically, they're larger chains. Some of them are independent. We're obviously independent, but some of them will go by the name of Atlantic Aviation, Signature Aviation, Millionaire, and things like that. We also operate Prairie Landing Golf Course. Recently, Prairie Landing has been ranked number one by the West Suburban Living magazine, also given 5 stars by Chicagoland Golf, 4.5 stars by Golf Digest, and extraordinary by Zagat's America's top golf courses. Again, we concentrate a lot on the product that we offer at Prairie Landing. The level of service is very high. John Schleyman, who is the director, again, this is operated by us. John Schleyman is the director who reports to me, does an outstanding job. And then we operate the DuPage National Technology Park. That is the acreage south of Roosevelt, north of Fabian, and then south of Fabian also. Consists of about 600 acres, very technology advanced business park. The bandwidth is phenomenal. Obviously, we're in a bit of an economic downturn. There hasn't been a lot of activity at the tech park, but CenterPoint is actively, CenterPoint, who is the master developer, is actively marketing that. And it's just going to be a relatively slow developing process. Now, this, going back to 1994, and this is a mailer that came up. Obviously, the DuPage Airport was not warmly received by a lot of people in DuPage County and possibly elsewhere. This was a mailer that went out during a political campaign. So this was somewhat, you know, I can enjoy this now because it was 10 years before I got here. But we have turned things around, so, Anna. This is some of the press coverage that we used to get. You know, the headlines were not that great. Now these are the types of headlines that we do get. So it's a turnaround that was envisioned by the board, the current board, headed by Dan Goodwin. It's a nine-member board appointed by Bob Schillerstrom with the concurrence of the county board. Extremely competent, extremely professional board, and they are the ones who are really responsible for this turnaround. Because it was certainly their vision to change the way that the airport was viewed. I think that they've largely succeeded in that. This is where they started, and then this mission statement was really developed about a year before I got here. We won't go through this because it's fairly long and detailed, but it really lays out the strategy for changing the way that the airport had done business for a very long time. And the accomplishments since 2004 were the development of the mission statement, a strategic plan, which we'll be talking about in more detail. We changed the employee handbook so that it was more reflective of industry standards and better business practices. They rewrote the bylaws. We rewrote the purchasing policy. We implemented an ethics ordinance that requires everyone who has a contract at the airport to provide all of their political contributions. Doesn't mean that, depending on who you contribute, doesn't mean that you're going to get or not get a contract. It just means that if you do business at the airport, it's completely transparent. Here's who you've contributed to. We changed the accounting function. It became much more rigorous. We now changed the way that we do legal work. And the legal bills probably have gone from $500,000 to probably we've cut that in half. We now engage in a very active marketing program and public outreach program. And we have financial reporting that's done at every board meeting, and they meet monthly. Finance. In 2009, we were hit just like all of the municipalities were hit, so we reduced our budget by over $1.1 million. All of our debt was retired in 2007, so DuPage Airport has no debt. Again, the Board of Commissioners reviews the monthly financial statements. That's done through a report that staff provides. We disclose all political contributions by vendors and contractors. Emphasis on transparency. Everything that you want to find out about the DuPage Airport is essentially on the website now, including the annual budget. And there's actually a screen capture of our website. Economic impact study is something that we did a couple of years ago. It shows a significant economic impact on the part of the airport to the regional community. Right now, it's estimated at over $350 million. We expect that to grow with the continued development of the tech park. We have a long-range financial plan that we're in the process of putting the finishing touches on now. That is a part of the master plan. And here's a view of our revenue structure. Property taxes contribute to about $6.5 million. Those have been fixed at that dollar amount for about the last 11 or 12 years. Technology Park right now is contributing $1.1 million. Golf course operations, $3.1 million. And then airport operations, $17 million. Employees, we've reduced the manning table in the last 2 years, primarily through attrition. We've gone from 59.5 to 51.5 for about 13%. Most of those have been at the administrative level. We've had two directors who have left that we did not replace. We absorbed those duties elsewhere, consolidated some positions and so forth. Operation is working better. Certainly, the ability to get or communication within the department has greatly enhanced since we've reduced the number of administrative employees. Net income from operations, this is kind of interesting because when you look back at the early 90s, you can see that it was significantly in the red. Since 1998, it's grown, it started to grow, we're in the black, grew significantly in 04, 05, 06, and we had a bit of an economic impact as a result of the recession, beginning of the recession in 07. And here is a chart reflecting the bonded indebtedness of the facility. You can see that this is where the majority of the construction took place. This is where all of the headlines were generated because there was significant bond debt that increased the tax rate. I think at one time the airport was collecting almost $20 million a year in taxes during that period of time. However, you can see that since then we have reduced that bonded indebtedness to zero in 2007. Property tax levy, again, there's the $20 million mark that has reduced and continues to reduce on an annual basis because our tax levy is fixed at that amount. And here we are with the development plan, and this is the result of about 2 years of work with the master planning firm. They took a look at all of the airfield components to see what we're going to have to do to accommodate the growth in aviation at the airport. We're fortunate because we have a lot of greenfield sites, both on the east side as well as the west side. We wanted to get an outside firm to take a look at this because we intuitively knew what we wanted to do and how we wanted development to proceed. However, it's always good to get an outside firm to look at it so that they can either confirm or reject your intuition. In this case, they largely confirmed a lot of what we were thinking. First of all, you can see, it doesn't really show up too well on the screen, but let's take what we call the northeast quadrant, which is this area that borders North Avenue. Our thinking is that we have a very low runway that is very lightly used. We're going to decommission this runway, which is runway 1533. We are going to, at some point, demolish all of the old hangars that now front on North Avenue in this area. And we are going to move all of these functions that currently are housed in this area down to the southeast quadrant of the airport in new facilities that we will build and lease. This runway will be decommissioned. These tenants and these land uses will be shifted to the southeast quadrant, and that frees up all this land for a new type of use. And what we envision this to be will be a non-aviation, commercial, retail, light industrial type of use. We see that as generating a lot more revenue for us over time, and will be a much higher and better use than what we currently have. Plus, the frontage on North Avenue also makes it attractive for that purpose. That is going to be a long process. It's something that we need to work through with the FAA. Decommissioning this runway will not be popular with the general aviation tenants. But it's something that we think that we can get through. But it will take probably 2 to 3 years to work through that. Moving to the southeast quadrant, which is this portion of the airport, this is where we envision all of these general aviation uses will eventually be located, including some large maintenance facilities that we are reserving land for. We did a commercial analysis of the airport to take a look at what our best development opportunities would be. Everybody wants to know, is the DuPage Airport going to become a commercial airport? I would say that we would give that a resounding no. There is simply no chance, either in the short term, long term, or probably ever, for commercial air service at the DuPage Airport. The airlines are committed to O'Hare, Midway. They've got facilities there for them. We have no facilities at DuPage to handle the commercial air service. The airlines don't want to pay to build it. We're not going to build it for them. So there is virtually no chance that there would ever be commercial air service at DuPage. We also looked at air cargo to see if air cargo was a possibility. We do have a small air cargo operator there now, who's somewhat successful. Are we ever going to be a hub or a facility or even a location for UPS, FedEx, or one of the larger air cargo carriers? Probably not. Again, they are committed to O'Hare in particular, Rockford also, and splitting their operation is very expensive. We may pick up some smaller type carriers, but air cargo is not going to be a significant component of our future. Where we do see some possibilities is in aircraft maintenance. We have the land to build facilities. We're going to reserve land in this area of the airport for that. They've got access to the airfield here, direct access, so we do see some possibilities. Shifting over to the area surrounding the flight center, we do see continued growth in corporate aviation, although that clearly is not popular to talk about these days. But we do see that in the long term, we're going to see continued growth once we get through this economic downturn. We're starting to see more activity than we have in the last year, in the last 5 to 6 weeks. So that's somewhat encouraging for us. But this is the area where the corporate aviation activity has grown. We see that continuing to the south, and we've got a significant amount of acreage to accommodate a lot of growth over the next, I'm going to say, 30 years, if not longer. We will be widening and strengthening this runway, which is the primary runway. It's actually approaching its design life, which is 20 years. And we, again, have been working both with the state as well as the FAA to get that project funded. Is there any questions so far on development plans? Yes, sir.
The runway that you're going to decommission along North Avenue and that property there, what's going to happen to the tenants that are there now? Isn't there a aircraft interiors guy there?
There is.
Other maintenance? Are they going to move into new areas on airport property?
We will not remove them until we've got someplace else for them to move to. Yes, so we envision, again, moving all of these tenants. You've got a maintenance facility here. You've got Cameron Interiors, as you just mentioned. You've got some T-hangers and so forth. Until we have a new place to move them, which will be down in this area, then we won't contemplate moving those structures or removing those structures.
I'm just curious. Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes.
Mr. Larger than Mr. Pollack.
When you say you're going to see a growth in corporate aviation, how many flights a day do you have now, and how many flights a day do you see having in 5 years, 10 years?
It varies, given the type, given the day of the week. But we're seeing we're forecasting about 3.5% growth per year. Now, that's not going to, that growth probably won't be linear. There'll be some fluctuations in that, like we've experienced the last year and a half. We envision we think that 3.5% probably is prudent.
Per year for the next 30 years?
Yeah. Well, it'll probably flatten out because that's a lot of operations.
Yeah.
That's we forecast for 20, we go 20 years out. And then we will be going back every 5 years to revisit these forecasts. If you look at our operations numbers from 5 years ago, they've actually declined probably 30,000 operations annually. So that's the reason you go back and take a look at those.
Okay. Alderman Pollack.
Thank you, Mayor. Sir, you'd referenced runway 2L20 right, strengthening and widening. What is the total length of that runway, and what's the largest plane you can land on it?
It is 7,570 feet long. We can land right now a Boeing business jet on it. We actually have one base there.
And anticipate.
And the Boeing business jet will run fully loaded at about 177,000 pounds.
So when you say a Boeing business jet, what is that for us?
Boeing business jet is basically a 737.
Okay. When you say strengthening and widening, are you anticipating planes larger than that 737, perhaps in the future for the business community?
No.
They such desire it?
No. Good question. But no, we're not. The runway right now was designed to accommodate 45,000-pound aircraft. Business aircraft have grown in size and weight over the last 15 years. So as a result, we've got to strengthen the runway to accommodate what we're forecasting to be the fleet mix in the future.
Thank you.
Anyone else from the dais who's with us live? Otherwise, I'll ask Alderman Flanagan. Alderman Flanagan, do you have any comments or questions for Mr. Byrd?
No, I just thought it was very informative, and I'm glad to see the airport standing on its operations and not the taxpayers.
You got a nice pat in the back.
Great, thank you.
And there's a gentleman in the audience who has a question as well. Sir, if I could invite you up to the microphone and just let us know. You're a familiar face, we know, but Mr. Byrd, this is his first time meeting you. So,
Jerry Cass. Question for you. Would the military be using any of the runway, in extreme cases, I would assume, but would the military be using the airport at all for Homeland Security or anything that would come up instead of using the two larger airports?
That's another good question.
Dorothy, the question was whether or not the military might be using the facility in extreme situations, whether it be ours or perhaps the Soviets. Is that the question?
Yes, under the grant assurances that we sign when we receive federal grants, yes, the federal government can take over the airport in times of need. Actually, we had a contingent of the Marines there about 3 weeks ago, too, and we were able to handle them. So.
Well, Mr. Byrd, you'll be happy to know that a great many of those Marines spent their evenings here in downtown Geneva.
Yes, I did hear that, too.
Yes. And is it true that St. Charles has a right to take over the airport if they need it?
No, that is not true.
I'm sure DeWitt will be calling me about that one.
Yes, and here is just a listing of what we're contemplating for our near-term development needs. Again, we won't go through these, but the near-term, we're looking at $39.5 million of development. In the midterm, which is 6 to 10 years, we're looking at $55.5 million. And in the long term, we're looking at another $45.6 million for a program total of $141 million. So again, airports are very expensive places to develop. Here is a graph showing the funds that the airports acquired. This is a very interesting graph because you can see that this is the period when the airfield, new airfield was developed. Substantial grants were obtained to get that work done. It's been a little bit more erratic since then. And then at this point, up until about 2 weeks ago, they owed us, the state owed us $328,000. So we had negative grants, which is kind of an interesting position to be in. They have since released $250,000 to fund the master plan, which is kind of interesting because we funded the, we went into this program to do the master plan on a 50-50 basis with the state. We fronted the $250,000, and then the former governor, who is now down doing something at a show downtown, pulled that $250,000 from us. So we were in the negative area until roughly 2 weeks ago. And we are having some difficulty getting traction with some of the funding mechanism or grant funds so far this year, but we're optimistic that that will change. Capital requirements for the next 10 years. This includes some funding for power requirements in the technology park. We're looking at $190 million. Airport average grant funds. Again, this is fairly descriptive as to what's happened over the last 20 years, and it's been declining. Prairie Landing Golf Club, interesting. A lot of people don't know why Prairie Landing was developed. It actually serves as the primary drainage mechanism for the airfield, so it serves two purposes. It's compatible development, also provides some diversification of our revenue stream, and provides a good way to reserve land that we may need in the future, while at the same time providing a revenue opportunity for us. And big development is obviously the DuPage National Technology Park. CenterPoint Properties is the master developer. We have a contract. They've got a 50-year lease with three 10-year options. Right now, the 2009 revenues from the tech park are $1.1 million. It has been selected as the site for the Northern Illinois Proton Therapy and Research Facility. We are evaluating right now the needs for incentive and the needs for additional power to be brought to the tech park. We're finding that that's one of the big hurdles right now to developing additional sites is just the lack of sufficient power for these very heavy power users. And as I mentioned earlier, this is the economic impact study that we had done 3 years ago. At that time, we were looking at a total economic impact of the airport of $373 million on income of $106 million. That was at that time projected to grow, basically being driven by the growth in the tech park. Because the tech park has not met our forecasts, we're going to go back, take a new look at these figures, and adjust those accordingly. And again, thank you for the opportunity to make this presentation. If anybody, and I want to stress this, if anyone wants a tour of the facility, we've got some of the most impressive facilities of any airport in the country. We have a someone that works for us in Washington. She is the former FAA administrator, as a matter of fact. And when she was out, she said that she had never seen an airport like this. Very well maintained. I have a very dedicated staff. They deserve the credit for having a lot of pride in that facility. They do an outstanding job. The level of service is very high in every aspect of that operation. So it's something we're very proud of. We like having people out. We like giving tours. So so if anybody wants one, it's no trouble for us at all. So.
Any additional comments from Mr. Byrd or questions? Anyone at all from the audience? That was an excellent presentation.
Thank you very much.
I think, you know, David, a lot of us, you know, stand 2 miles east or south or west or wherever and just wonder what the heck goes on, but that kind of information is invaluable.
Well, that's one of the things that I have figured out over the last 5.5 years is that there was a lot of intrigue that went on.
Yes.
And to be quite honest with you, over the years, the airport hasn't done that good a job at getting the message out. That's one of the things that we want to do is make these public outreach so that, or make this public outreach so that we can get the message out. We can tell people accurately what's going on. Because there's always some cynicism about what's going on over there. And it could be that you want to widen and strengthen a runway because you're going to become a commercial airport. That is just economically, the finances of that do not make any sense for the airlines or even for us. So it's always good to get the message out firsthand. That's what we want to do. And again, we're more than happy to do it. We're going to be talking to a lot of the civic groups. And if anybody has any group that they're affiliated with that they want us to come and speak to, we'd be more than happy to do that.
I have a quick question, then Mr. Piper. Alderman Flanagan, do you have a comment or a question?
No, not at this time. Thanks.
That's Dorothy live from Delnor's intensive care. On the screen, there's a reference to a fuel field.
Mm-hmm.
Your fuel field. How big is that field? Just for my own edification and pure curiosity, how many gallons of fuel do you store?
We store 60,000 gallons of jet fuel.
Wow.
We have storage for 60,000 gallons of jet fuel and 10,000 gallons of aviation, what we call avgas, 100 low lead, for the piston aircraft. So obviously, the majority of the fuel that we sell, about 90% of that, is jet fuel. So that's the good proxy as to what type of airport we are. We're primarily a corporate airport. A lot of the flight training, because the airspace has gotten more complicated around DuPage than it used to be, so a lot of the flight training operations have moved west. But we are primarily a corporate airport. That's where the high yields are for us. So yeah, we've got that, and we've got the ability to expand that fuel farm.
Sure. And are you able to set your price by yourself, or do you buy futures on that fuel and you're locked in?
No. We don't buy fuel. We can't. We simply don't have the purchasing power to hedge. But no, I have fuel price meetings every Tuesday morning because we get the new prices. Our new prices are published Mondays, so we meet on Tuesday mornings to set the price for that week, and it's really done. There's a number of things that go into that, but we want to remain competitive because, again, we are competing with private sector companies, and we probably operate more like a private sector business than we do as a government. And as a result, we've got to compete with them, and we've got to compete with them on that playing field. And it's pretty interesting.
I bet.
But we've got to remain competitive. We monitor what they're doing to the extent that they give us good information because they know what we're doing. We know what they're doing.
Sure. Yeah. Alderman Piper.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to say, Mr. Byrd and I I spoke briefly beforehand, and for anybody who hasn't been out there, I've flown out of there, and it's convenient, immaculate. The customer service is fantastic. If you get a chance, go out and take that tour. That place is beautiful. They've done a nice job, and it's absolutely a pleasure to fly out of there. So if you get a chance, it's a pretty neat a neat place to walk through.
Please come out. We'll be having community days next month, so we'll have the World War II bombers. We're trying to get the Marines to do a cross-country that particular weekend so that we could maybe have some of the Marine equipment out there on that day. But we'd love to get people out into the building. It's not an elite building that people can't come into. You know, we're going to be serving hot dogs for a dollar and, you know, so forth. So it'll be a great time to bring the family out and see the building and see the airfield and just have a nice weekend.
And just out of curiosity, with respect to the 2016 Olympic bid, is your facility being catered to as a primary spot for corporate jet?
Not at this point. We haven't been included in any of those discussions, but we definitely think that we would be a primary location because we've, for the same reason the Marines selected us for Marine Week, and that's that we've got the ramp space to park a lot of aircraft. We think that there's going to be a nice test for us in 2012, which will be when the Ryder Cup's at Medina. We know that 3 years ago when the PGA was at Medina that the ramp was full of airplanes, absolutely full. And the Ryder Cup will be bigger than that. So, and the Olympics will be bigger than that if we're lucky enough to get them. But we would definitely like to be in that planning process because we think that we're going to be a location given the runway length,
sure,
which is important. It's the longest runway outside of O'Hare in the Chicagoland area. It's at 7,570 feet. That's what's really driven the growth of the DuPage Airport as much as us having fueling is the length of that runway because it can accommodate any class of business jet. And launch it, you know, we have aircraft that launch out of DuPage nonstop to Moscow. You can get to the Far East out of DuPage just because you can get enough fuel on the aircraft with enough runway length to get it off the ground and in the air.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you could fly nonstop from DuPage Airport to, like, DeKalb.
Yes, you can.
That's awesome.
You can. And back.
And back.
And back.
Anyone else? Anyone in the audience at all? Do you have any objection at all, Mr. Bird, if we share the PowerPoint you presented tonight on our website as well?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. Thank you very much.
Thank
we
you
appreciate
very much.
That.
Thank you.
That's good stuff, man. Two good presentations at once. Any objection if we continue our meeting while you download your... Oh, awesome. Item four, folks, amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments this evening? Item five is the omnibus agenda. All items marked with an asterisk are considered to be routine and can be enacted by one motion.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Singer, seconded by Hill. Questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
John Singer?
Aye.
Don Rosenberg?
Aye.
Folks, we jump down to item 10, municipal bills for payment. I kindly ask our city clerk to please read the bills to be paid.
Bills for payment total $629,256.29.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve and pay the bills as read and as displayed on the city website.
Second. Alderman Brown motions to pay the bills as read. Alderman Pollack seconds. Questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan? Dorothy Flanagan?
Oh, aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Rogelsberg?
Aye.
Dorothy, we apologize. I slipped the clerk a note saying DNR. So she's going to kill me for saying that, isn't she? Item 11A, folks, consider resolution number 2009-35, authorizing an amendment to the operating and capital budget of Tricon and Tricon Board of Directors. to enter into contracts and legal expenses for repairs to the Tricom facility in the estimated amount of $818,676.26.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Vogelsberg, seconded by Mr. Maladra. Questions or comments for Ms. McKittrick and or the Chief? Chief Olson's here tonight as well. Mr. Pollack.
Thank you, Mayor. For clarification, I voted against this last week. I certainly understand, and we heard last week that there are a number of qualified contractors available through the RFP process. We also might have concerns regarding the ability as to how we award the contract, but we do have the ability to allay any concerns of ours so that we can award the contract as such. And I will continue to vote against this because I feel this should be competitively bid. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pollack. Alderman Piper.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We get into a lot of discussions about competitive bidding, and normally I agree 100%. I think we're in a situation here where we've got a lot of mitigating circumstances. One of the main issues, and I'm sure the Chief could speak more to this, is the situation we're in is so technical. If we get into a competitive bid situation, this is not the time or place to get into breaking in a new guy. This is not a City of Geneva decision. It's a Tri-City decision. As we have three communities that are comfortable with a certain amount of contractors with what needs to be done, I'm all for all three cities saying, these are the three guys I trust to pull this off, which is why I voted for it and will continue to vote for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman. Anyone else from the dais? Alderman Maladra?
Yeah, I would echo Alderman Piper. I'm not exactly sure what we mean by competitive bidding. It seems to me in this situation we're going to talk to eight providers, each of whom is going to compete for the job. And the type of job it is, I think, falls perfectly within the definition of what is a professional service. I did some poking around on the internet, and it says courts find professional services to be defined as any work involving specialized knowledge, judgment, labor, or skill. And the labor or skill involved is predominantly mental or intellectual, not physical or manual. From what I've heard about Tricom's situation, I don't think that there's anything that fits that definition better. The situation that they face over there with the contents of the basement, the construction of the basement, the drainage problems, involves a pretty doggone specialized skill. And as a council, we can't determine whether or not the provider has that or doesn't have that.
Anyone else on the dais? Alderman Flanagan?
No, thank you.
Anyone in the audience? Mr. Case? Welcome back, sir. Where you been? We've missed you.
I've been busy.
Have you? Good.
City of St. Charles is keeping me busy.
It's good. You got to clean up for that festival this weekend, don't you?
Exactly. Well, actually, I was in Florida, so I don't care.
Oh, sorry. Sound like Florida
has to clean up.
Sound like
yes,
Mayor,
exactly.
Sound like Mayor Belandic.
Okay. I just want to make a comment on this also, too, that I do know that the surrounding cities, Geneva, Batavia, and St. Charles, also have used city workers to contribute to help with this water problem. And I'm hoping that this contractor that we are using for the bidding process here is also going to be able to prevent this from occurring. So I just want to make sure that money's not being wasted. The other question I have also, too, is the $800,000, is that Geneva's portion that we'll be spending for the construction, or is this going to be split up between the three cities?
I'm going to invite the chief of our fire department to answer that specific question for you.
The short answer is no, it's not Geneva. This is coming from the reserve fund maintained by Tri-County.
Okay.
And yes, work is being done. The project's been designed so that this doesn't happen again.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, I should have asked the spelling of your last name again.
It's Cass. C-A-S-S.
S-S. Okay. Anyone from the dais? I think I saw a hand up. Or was that a gesture that should not be repeated? Is that what it was? Anyone else? We have a motion. We have a second. I kindly request our clerk to please take a roll call.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Nay.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Rogelsberg?
Aye.
The motion passes 8-1 with one absent. Folks, according to my agenda, we are down to item 13, new business. Is there anyone in the audience with any new business tonight? Anything for the benefit of the council or community? Nice picture in the paper regarding those murals of the post office. You take those yourself?
No.
You still have one of those cameras? You got to wave the film when you take the picture? Anyone at all? Mr. Stanton, anything? I've heard that before. Anybody from the dais? Mr. Brown and then Mr. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've been contacted by a number of constituents who are quite upset that they feel that their city government did not give them adequate notice that the post office was going to be sold. And they wonder at this very late date whether anything can be done. And I suspect that some of these people don't even realize that this week we have been notified, correct me if I'm wrong, that the marketing process has actually been started for the building. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And it was, of course, very hard to answer these people since we were blindsided almost as much as they were, I feel. But they certainly have a valid point that it would have been nicer if the public could have been given much, much more advance notice that this was going to happen. Thank you.
I would only add that I take exception to some of those residents who feel that way. You know, I'll steal a word from Mr. Berg's presentation, transparency. Our primary responsibility is to provide cogent and common sense information, and that's exactly what we did. This council was notified 3+ weeks prior to our closed session regarding the sale of the post office. The fact of the matter is, it's going to happen. We've got to make lemonade out of lemons, and if we're all true to our word, it's going to turn out to be a positive thing for our community. So if anyone has any questions specifically for me, since I have participated in those meetings with the Congressman's office since last September, my phone number is 630-742-8916. There's a 50-cent charge for calling me. So. Mr. Hill, then Alderman Vogelsberg.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Talking about taking lemons and turning it into lemonade, some of you may have driven by the kiosk at the corner of Campbell and 3rd Street. Since noontime, it has a new coat of paint. And tomorrow, if it doesn't rain, it'll have a second coat. And the paint matches the brickwork on the upper level of the courthouse. It blends in very nicely. I've had about 4 or 5 volunteers, Colin and Gloria Ann Campbell, were expert painters on the kiosk, as well as Ron Stevenson. And Lick Paint Store helped us tremendously on this. Somebody even planted some flowers, and we don't know who it was. And Dorothy, was that you, Dorothy, that you planted some flowers and put some mulch down there around the kiosk?
No, it wasn't me.
Okay. Well, somebody did, and that's appreciated, too. We'll get a second coat of paint on, hopefully tomorrow before the rain. If not, it'll be Saturday. And then we'll start the process to replace the signboards that had been there with new signboards and with some regulations as to how they will be used. We haven't developed those yet. But it's been an interesting experience, and I think it'll be good for the total community as well as the county.
It does look beautiful.
Thank you, Mayor.
Well done.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I may ask Alderman Hill. In the last few years, it's sort of degenerated into becoming a public public signboard that anybody could post anything on it at any time they wanted, and that's because nobody was in control of it. You hope to do something better than that and have some procedure for posting notices on that kiosk?
You may be looking at the person who has to take control of that. And it will be done. There's no governmental or private agency that has stepped up to volunteer to be in charge. And so those of us who are painting may just have to appoint ourselves as a committee to do that. But it will be done properly and for the benefit of the total community.
That will certainly be an improvement. Thank you.
Alderman, oops, excuse me.
We'll do it for a while.
can get a badge and a gun with it?
Probably.
Probably.
I'm in then.
You already have a gun, Dawn. Alderman Vogelsberg.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to thank and congratulate Mr. Radovich for being the person to offer the name of Robert Joshua for the plaza name. Plaza. That's it. Thank you. It's a very fitting name. Thank you.
His first suggestion was Radovich Plaza.
I thought so. They came in seven times.
Mr. Marks, did you have your hand up, sir? No? Anyone else in the business? Otherwise, we're going to entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion by Singer, seconded by Piper. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Aye.
Good night, everyone.